T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
My personality was to blame.
What the call is that?
I was not afraid to say what was on my mind.
Boomer Esiason.
Esiason, wide open is Brooks. Boomer just threw that football up like it was on a hanger.
Host of Boomer and Geo, mornings on WFAN.
Why don't you just announce it on WFAN?
1988 NFL MVP.
The Cincinnati Bengals AFC champion.
NFL All-Pro and 4-time Pro Bowler.
Esiason, the talk of Cincinnati.
Our very own Monday afternoon quarterback.
Chase Daniel, the more you see, the less you're going to like.
Here's Chase, back into the gun. He's hit on a release, up in the air, intercepted. Picked up by Conley. Conley's got it.
Boomer Esiason with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Days after Bears games, we talked to Boomer Esiason at 3 o'clock on a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday. He's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. He gave us the line, the more you see of Chase Daniel, the less you're going to like. Boom, I've got to be honest. I was applying that logic to Mitch Trubisky yesterday.
Yeah, well, good afternoon, guys. I'm sorry it has to be under these circumstances. But I will say that, you know, it's the end of the season's a long way away, and a lot of things can happen. Here's what my takeaway from yesterday is probably very much along the lines of where you guys have probably been dealing with your fans and everything today. The Bears got their asses kicked yesterday. They got their asses handed to them. The defensive and offensive lines of the New Orleans Saints just absolutely ran roughshod over them. As far as throwing 54 passes when you're down and you can't run the ball, you might as well throw the football. And for me, even though it was garbage time at the end of the game, the more Mitch Trubisky can throw, the better it's going to be long-term for the Bears, if, in fact, he's going to be the long-term solution. Oddly enough, what this reminds me of right now, where we sit with the Bears and with Mitch, and I know Mitch was playing with a harness yesterday. He's coming off of a dislocated left shoulder. Every time he got hit, I guarantee you that it was like electric bolt going through his body, and I give him credit for being out on the field. Now, however, it reminds me a lot, and when I say this, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just trying to give you a perspective of where I think Matt Nagy is with his quarterback. He's with Mitch right now where the Jacksonville Jaguars were with Blake Bortles. And we all know how that turned out, and we know what that looked like, and we all knew that it was going to be a struggle on offense. And it's unfortunate because I think Mitch is a really good kid, but I thought Troy Aikman was spot on yesterday with a couple of his the analysis of the throws that Mitch couldn't make. And he had just come off of a game on Thursday night where he watched Joe Flacco miss and look lethargic, and it looked like he didn't really care for the Denver Broncos. So his analysis was spot on. When you have opportunities to make plays downfield, you got to hit those opportunities. And all the great ones do it, and they do it consistently week in and week out. And I think last night or yesterday was an indication that he's still rusty. He's not nearly as polished as he needs to be, especially where he is in his career, especially with an offensive head coach. And, you know, they could have ran the ball 33 times yesterday, guys. You know what that would have led to? That would have led to 11 three and outs and 11 punts. They couldn't run the ball a lick either, as the offensive line is really struggling. They're struggling in the run blocking, struggling in the pass blocking. And right now, Matt Nagy may take all the blame on his own shoulders and everything else, and that's a nice thing for a coach to do. But when I see this, I see an offense that is absolutely one of the worst in the league right now.
He called 7 runs yesterday, and I know the offensive line is bad, and we don't know what we got in David Montgomery, but I see coaches try to make life easy on young quarterbacks by continuing to slam it in there. Norv Turner does it. They did it in Indianapolis yesterday. Marlon Mack wasn't getting going. You saw the game, but they kept slamming it in there to make life easy for Jacoby Brissett. I'm stunned by this guy's reluctance to at least have the constitution to run it 15 times a game. Yesterday he didn't get the double digits.
Well, you know, I think, you know, when he's on the field and he's watching his team and he's watching his running backs, you know, getting stopped at the line of scrimmage and fumbling, You know, David Montgomery needs to learn how to become a professional running back. I think I told you this last week about him, or 2 weeks ago, that, you know, fumbling and, you know, giving up on the first hit is not the way that you carry yourself as a running back in a league. You gotta put your head down. You gotta make the quick decision, and you gotta go, and you gotta protect the football. I know that he does not want to call 54 passes. I know it looks ridiculous, especially, you know, most of those pass attempts came late in the fourth quarter when they were finally getting first downs. Time of possession tells you everything, and I do believe that it was over 37 minutes. So much like the Colts did to the Chiefs on a Thursday night 2 weeks ago, the Saints did to the Bears yesterday. And one of the reasons that, you know, that you're able to do that is because both your offensive and defensive lines are just not controlling the line of scrimmage. You could say whatever you want about the NFL and quarterbacks and wide receivers and everything else. It all comes down to who's got the badass defensive and offensive line. And, you know, when the Bears won the Super Bowl back in 85, they were a badass defense. They assaulted opposing teams' quarterbacks. And this defense, I thought going into the season, was going to be like that. Now, this week they weren't like that. And I don't know if it's just that they, I guess the Saints are just that good and that talented that they were overrun. And I think Matt Nagy recognized that during the game and tried to open it up and try to put more on Mitch. But maybe Mitch is just not ready for it yet. I can see the struggle. I see it. And I can feel it for Matt as he's calling plays. And I can see it in Mitch's frustrated face on the field. And I can see the grinding of trying not to make a mistake as opposed to just letting it loose and letting it go. And, you know, I don't know where they go from here. It's not like you can just flip a switch and Walter Payton's going to come walking through that door. That's not going to happen. So they can only play with what they have. They can do a minor tweak here, a minor tweak there. But, you know, when they play teams that they need to be better than, they have to assault the opposing team's offense, get turnovers, and give their offense a short field to work on.
Boomer, of all of the failed quarterback comps that you could have made, why do you choose Blake Bortles for this one?
You know, because they seem to be like the same type of guy. You know, they're passionate. They love playing. They run around a little bit, but they just I think Blake. You know, Blake was also inaccurate. Blake never really ever felt comfortable down in Jacksonville. You know, there are reasons why quarterbacks, you know, for whatever. You know, there are lots of reasons, but sometimes they just don't get it. Sometimes the pressure is too much sometimes. But, you know, the problem is that Mitch looked like there was growth there last year, and I think I told you guys in the preseason that the Bears are only going to go as far as Mitch Trubisky takes them. Now, if he's hurt and he's not there, then he certainly can't do that. But I think he also probably felt pressure to get back under center with a harness on his left shoulder, which is not easy to play with, especially when you're throwing the ball 54 times. I know he cares. I know he's passionate, and I know he gets the whole Chicago vibe. You know, Bill Parcells used to say, you know, give me a quarterback that's going to be booed by his hometown fans. And, you know, in the midst of a four-game losing streak, somehow finds the will to win and take his team to victory in the fourth quarter of that fourth game and gets us out of that losing streak. And that could be my quarterback for an entire season. And I think that's where they are with Mitch right now. This is the reality of playing quarterback in today's NFL with social media and all the you know, and all the eyes and all the criticisms that come along with high expectations. So if you want to be paid $25 million a year, which I'm sure he would love to be paid that at some time in his career, he's got to fight through this like a man, and he's got to dig deep, and he's got to figure out how to get it right. And the more he throws, I think the better it is. And even if over the next 3 weeks, if we've talked about where he has thrown the ball over 100 times in extra weeks, I think I would be happy with that, because you got to put more pressure on him. He's got to learn how to play. He's got to play through all of this. And if he's going to be worth anything, then, you know, these tough times where the fans are booing and the fans want you out of there, and people are taking up funds to, you know, to buy out his contract and all the nonsense that goes on in this league in these days. He's got to be a man, and he's got to fight through it. There's no other answer other than to get back on the practice field, to get back out there next week and prove to everybody that you can be a winner.
If he doesn't do that, if he's not good the next 10 weeks, you know, we got him back here.
Well, then you got to start looking.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Of the names that we kick around today, I'd love to know which ones you think are realistic and appealing. And Philip Rivers' name comes up. He's a free agent. Well, Marcus Mariota's name comes up.
Can we talk about that when the time comes, if the time comes?
So you think it's salvageable? You think it's salvageable?
Well, you know, look, you still have 10 games left in the season or whatever.
I know.
Left in the season. You can't give up right now. There's no give up. Nobody can't. Look, there are 31 other franchises. They're going to go on the field next week. Who do they play next week?
San Diego.
Yeah, the Chargers.
All right, the Chargers. They're going to go play L.A. They're going to have to beat the living crap out of the L.A. Chargers. That's what they're going to have to do, and that's the only way where it starts. You know, you can't give up in the middle of the season. You can't start thinking about next year if you're a player or a coach, for that matter, or you won't be coaching and playing very long. So, you know, they're being pushed to the brink right now. Everybody in that locker room, not just Mitch, but everybody. And when you give up, you know, over 100 yards to Latavius Murray, you get beat by Teddy Bridgewater, both backups, by the way. That means that there's something else wrong with the team other than just the quarterback. That means the defense all of a sudden fell flat, and maybe they were on the field too long. I don't know. Maybe that was the case. Maybe they're getting frustrated. Maybe they're getting tired of a lack of an offensive support. That, you know, all of this is where the coach comes in now. The coach has got to keep that team together. I like what he said after the game. You know, turn it all off, man. Turn the social media off. Turn the phones off. Don't read the papers. Don't read this, you know, don't get into Instagram and all this other crap, because it's going to drive you crazy. And that's one thing I'm glad I never had when I played, because I would be fighting back left and right social media wise, and I'd put myself probably in a deeper hole than I was when I wasn't playing well.
And that's what two of his players did last night after the game.
Yeah,
too.
We've already got Tariq Cohen and Allen Robinson going back and forth with media members and blog posters on Twitter. You know, because it's very. When I heard Matt Nagy say that as the millennial here in the conversation. It's really
stay off the Twitter and all that. And if you're going to do something like that, just wish somebody happy birthday.
It's really idealistic, but these guys don't know how to turn it off. They say don't read the comments. It's virtually impossible for the millennial athlete to not know what people are talking about them when it comes right to their phones.
I know it. I know. You know, and you and I and us guys, we work in you know, sports talk radio. Back in the day, that was the only villain. We were the only villains.
Exactly.
You know, I'm on the dark side. I'm on the dark side now, by the way. So, you know, and I sit here and I sit and I have to criticize, whether it be the Jets, the Giants, the Knicks, the Nets, the Yankees, the Mets, the Rangers, the Islanders, the Devils. It goes on, and it never stops. But the spoken word is not nearly, I think, as biting and as, I guess, as deep cutting as some of the social media words that are out there, especially from people, you know, who are anonymous and or going under some other names. So I wish you could just tell the millennials, put the phone down and put the social media and turn it off and just focus in on what you can do and what you can do best. And that's, you know, that's really a simplistic message. But there's one guy in this league that for the last 20 years has carried the same message, and his team never or very rarely ever gets in trouble via social media, and that's Bill Belichick. And those guys listen when they go to New England. I don't know why, but they do. And I think a lot of that has to do with 6 Super Bowl rings and the way that he conducts his business up there. And it's too bad other coaches and other owners can't follow that roadmap to get their players to buy into the simplistic idea of don't let the outside in our locker room. Don't let them see you sweat. But unfortunately, younger players are going to get caught up in it, and it's going to be nothing but a distraction for them.
Boomer, last year in Week 6, the Bears went to Miami after a bye and crapped a bet against Brock Osweiler. Then 35-year-old Frank Gore tore him up. They have 2 weeks before the Saints game, and they look like that. Is there a reason to be suspicious about their level of conditioning?
You know, it's hard to that's hard to say. I can't imagine that would be the case. You know, last year with Brock Osweiler and Frank Gore, yeah, that would be troubling to me. But at the end of the day, that's not what cost them last year. This year, the Saints are one of the best teams in the league. I actually had them as a preseason Super Bowl pick, and when Drew Brees went down, everybody was like, "You still with them? You still with them?" I said, "Well, I can't change now. I got to stay with them." And they are a pretty damn good team. I'll tell you, Sean Payton's a great coach. He may be the other coach in the league that has the ability to get his players to stay off of social media, because a lot of his players don't get involved in that nonsense either. So I think Belichick and Peyton definitely have something there in terms of keeping their teams focused and winning, especially with backup players at key positions. But hey, look, man, it's frustrating. From a player's perspective, you're the only guys in that locker room that give a crap about each other. There are people trying to rip you apart on the outside, and to buy into any of that nonsense, unfortunately for those guys, is nothing but a distraction. What they need to do is they need to rally together. They need to take it out on the L.A. Chargers this week, which they can. They need to come away with a win, feel better about themselves, And Matt Nagy needs to get Mitch Trubisky 3 or 4 touchdown passes. That's the way you rebuild your team, and you try to get some of the confidence back, and hopefully that will be the case for them this week.
I know it's not just about the quarterback, but you are the expert on this subject. So two like logistical things from the game. Mm-hmm. Matt Nagy said Mitch kept hitting these throws in practice, and then when the game happened, his footwork fell apart and he was missing the throws. What does that
nerves.
Tell you?
That's nerves. It's 100% nerves. And he's just got to calm down. The game has got to calm down for him. You know, he's probably, dare I say the word, we had the word here, hit one of our quarterbacks in New York about 6 or 7 years ago. Jerry Reese, the general manager of the New York Giants, then said of Eli Manning, our quarterback is skittish. Skittish means he's nervous, he's panicking, he's not comfortable. That could be because he's wearing this harness on his left shoulder. He got hurt significantly. He can't run like he used to run because he's got to protect his shoulder. And his feet are not set when he's throwing the ball. And very few players in this league can get away doing that. I think Patrick Mahomes is one that I can think of. You know, and Mitch, part of Mitch's game is what Lamar Jackson's doing in Baltimore, although he's not as good an athlete as Lamar. The running part of it is a significant part of their big plays in Chicago. And I think with a hurt shoulder, that's probably not going to be as significant until he gets to be 100%, assuming he gets to be 100% at any point in time this year, which I doubt is going to happen. So
right.
They got to beat up on a lesser opponent this week, guys. It's the only thing I could tell you. They have to win against the Chargers, get their season back on track, and get a little confidence back, because right now their offensive confidence is definitely in the toilet. There's no question about that. And as a play caller, you really struggle to try to figure out the plays that are going to be successful and put your quarterback in it. I mean, it's frustrating if you're the coach. So there's a lot of issues there. There's no question about it. But that doesn't mean that they can't come out this week and bludgeon the LA Chargers. They're going to have to do it starting with defense.
And then, all right, last thing, and you're right, they are going to have to beat the Chargers, and somehow they're a 5.5-point favorite against that terrible team.
I'm not touching that with the money you owe me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to pay you. I know I'm a millennial and you don't have Venmo, but I got the cash
Dolphins,
in my pocket.
Dolphins, baby!
I'm gonna pay you. The headset goes out, Boomer, and it looked like there was some sort of like nuclear holocaust. Like they all panicked. Like yeah. Nagy's going, come over here. Mitch doesn't know what he's doing. They end up needing to burn a time. It's 3rd and 2. He's got the plays on his wrist. Is it unrealistic for me to expect that a 3rd-year quarterback, 2nd year in the system, it shouldn't be outright panic because the headset goes out for a play?
Well, you're talking to a guy. I don't know if you know my history, but you know I'm a guy that ran a no-huddle offense at the line of scrimmage and knew all the plays, all the formation, all the personnel groups, all the checks, all the audibles, everything. That if something didn't go right from the sideline, I could handle it. It took me about 2 to 3 years to get into all of that. I mean, Mitch should be well-versed in this offense, that if there's a problem, they should be able to signal in the play or send the play in with somebody where he would know the formation. It's embarrassing to me that a lot of these quarterbacks wear these damn wristbands. It bothers me because I believe if you really, truly care and you love your team and you love your offense, then you're going to know it like it's the back of your hand. So I'll give him a little bit of a pass in the fact that he's still young. He's not, you know, he's not up there in his 5th, 6th, 7th, or 8th year yet. But the fact that they have to play with the wristbands on their arms, I think it just makes it too easy for them, and it takes them off the hook a little bit. So I do put a little bit of that on the coach and the expectations that the coach has for the quarterback. It's not all that difficult. There's a lot of things you got to know, and there's a lot of little nuances that go on during the game that the coach can help you with, especially with the coaches that are up in the box and have all their notes and everything open in front of them. But it's still up to the quarterback to have total responsibility and understanding of what he's trying to do on the field. So when something like that does happen, there isn't like a mass panic on the sideline, because mass panics lead to losing. And unfortunately, the Bears are in the midst of that right now.
Boomer, thank you very much. Great stuff. We'll talk after the Bears beat the Chargers.
Okay, guys, I'll talk to you
next
week.
Thanks, Boomer. See ya.
Thank you.
Stop thinking about next year, you idiots. They got 10 more games to play.
That was Boomer Esiason.
I needed to be told that.
Brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Bears. To the people on the text line saying that he's like being a defender, Boomer takes the blade to people. He's dealing in reality. Mitch Trubisky's the quarterback for the rest of this year. You're not bringing in a quarterback midseason. You have to figure out what you have between now and the end of the year. That is reality.
Yeah, you got to keep going. We can we can kick around next year. We can fast forward to it. But
of course,
he's always going to look at it through the eyes of a player. That's what he did for so long.
Which is what we want him to do.
Yeah.
Like that. That's the insight there. Like, what do you do? Is this salvageable? The idea, by the way, the comp of Bortles... Bortles played all 5 years on that rookie deal. They gave him five chances. Like, that's what the Titans are doing with Mariota and the Bucks are doing with Jameis. I don't want the Bears to do that with Mitch.
Something Bortles had that Trubisky doesn't have is he had Leonard Fournette for a year, and he had a few other guys prior to Fournette's arrival who he could give the ball to, and they trusted a running game.
Absolutely.
That's how you get to an AFC title game with Blake Bortles. They put
and they had
45
a great defense.
On the board against the Steelers.
I know. And they should have beat the Patriots.
Yes, bad call.
I know. But the and then they figured out, oh, Bortles isn't good enough. We have to move on. And they move on for nothing. And it felt like wasted years. You've got to figure out before 5 years of Mitch Trubisky whether or not he's the guy. I don't want to see Mitch just be dead man walking for the next two seasons as the Bears quarterback, where we all know, but there's just like that occasional glimpse every five games.
Dead man backup quarterback's fine with me. I mean, I'm glad we're seeing it now. I mean, why wait until, you know, if he's so-so and posts the occasional 100 and still leaves that glimmer of hope out there, then maybe they don't fortify the roster with another quarterback next season. I'm kind of rooting for him to go backwards, if that's possible.
That's not possible. Let's discuss that. Like, best case scenario then going forward, because that's the Bortles comp. There we go. You got an expert who's comped your quarterback to Blake Bortles. This hour on The Score brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com. We'll pick up the conversation there, plus your calls on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oddly enough, what this reminds me of right now, where we sit with the Bears and with Mitch, and I know Mitch was playing with a harness yesterday. It reminds me a lot, and when I say this, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just trying to give you a perspective of where I think Matt Nagy is with his quarterback. He's with Mitch right now where the Jacksonville Jaguars were with Blake Bortles.
Not great, Bob. That audio sponsored by the Berman Auto Express Store. The new Berman Auto Express Store is the express way to buy your next car 100% online. Just select your used vehicle, get instant upfront pricing, and they'll deliver it right to your doorstep with all the paperwork ready to sign. See over 500 vehicles at Berman.com.
The year Bortles had in 2017 would make this Bears team among the favorites to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl in Miami. Bortles did have a really good year for one season, but again, the help was there. He had the benefit of Leonard Fournette, who was a terrific first-year running back, and they also had T.J. Yeldon, who was serviceable. And we still don't know if the Bears have a decent running back. And even if they did, what's that really do for you when the offensive line never gets to the second level? Because it just doesn't.
Well, you say he had a really good year. He was basically Mitch Trubisky last year. In fact, a little worse. He only completed...
No, I said two years ago.
Yeah, when 2017.
When they got to the championship.
Yeah, they went 10-6. He completed 60% of his passes. He had 21 touchdowns and 13 interceptions and threw for 7 yards per attempt.
Yeah, Mitch doesn't throw interceptions. The ball's so far away from everybody, no one can get it. Although one was dropped yesterday. He had another drop yesterday.
He does. Yeah, that's...
They're just so shocked.
They're so shocked.
God, he threw it to somebody.
God. But it feels like that was Mitch's year. It was last year when Mitch was fine, below average, but... Got better as the year went on. He could make the big throw. They had an easy schedule. They had a great turnover margin. They were scoring defensive touchdowns. They were healthy. And so they won 12 games, won a division, and easily could have been playing in the second round of the playoffs if not for a kicker.
To the texter who appreciated Boomer because he's tired of the what he calls ridiculous behavior at the score today, the season's over, negativity over the top. It's not just yesterday. It's what preceded it also. And even though that wasn't Trubisky, you thought that a few weeks off might do him a little bit of good. And the more and more we watch the Bears offense under the direction of Matt Nagy, the less confidence we have in the new head coach, the second-year head coach.
Yeah, and
knew my ass. Honeymoon's been over all season.
Well, and he's not playing with a full deck of cards, but he has to take some ownership of it, and you have to make the best of a bad situation. And your game strategy and clock management at the end of the first half was reckless.
You deserve to be down by more than you were at halftime.
No question about it. He only gave the ball to a running back five times on the day of the Walter Payton bobblehead, my friend. Like, it's just inexcusable. There was
Ditka being acknowledged, too, on the broadcast. The great one.
A seven-foot Payton bobblehead, but there were only five carries. Like, it was just pathetic, and they don't...
The run game has to get going.
And I don't know that it can. Like, Boomer said if you ran the ball 33 times, you would have had 11 three-and-outs. I'd like to see.
I don't believe that. I believe sooner or later somebody can bust one off, and that's why you have to keep hammering. You also can't allow the defense just to continue to pack in. You have to make them respect your running game, or otherwise you're just going to see people dropping eight like they did, and that's not good when you're struggling to understand NFL defenses. When there's eight of them out there and six are DBs, that's not a good matchup.
Yeah, and
that's terrible.
It is, and maybe you accidentally break one. Maybe it at least allows play action to be more productive. Your guy, Kirk Cousins, he eats off of play action.
He is my guy now, officially, that he has proven his mental toughness exceeds that of most mortal men. He was the biggest punching bag in the NFL after week four. We were included in that. I was included in that. What are you apologizing to Adam Thielen for, you little mealy-mouthed little baby? Don't talk like that. You're supposed to be the leader of your team. And what's he done? In three games, he's thrown for 975 yards. We can even do math on that. That's 3.25 a game. He's thrown 10 touchdown passes and been intercepted only one time. And he's throwing downfield, too. He's making good throws.
Yep.
I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought he was going to be so mentally defeated that, you know, put an asterisk on the Giants win, even though it was on the road, and he's done it two more weeks, three straight weeks. That's a remarkable turn of events.
He's better than Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
It's a long list.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
What percent chance do you give it that Mitch's career is salvageable? Like, what are we talking about here? Are we
talking? What do you mean by salvageable? Yes,
you want to give him. You want to give him a second contract? Mitch Trubisky is the Bears' starting quarterback 3 years from now because they've signed him to an extension, and you think that's a good thing? 10-1, 5-1. What are we dealing?
I was going to say a 15% chance, whatever odds that would equate to.
Okay, so about 7-1, somewhere in there.
I don't think he'll be their quarterback in 3 years.
Neither do I. I mean, it's clearly a long shot at this point. I just want to know.
I'm hoping he's not their quarterback next year. I'm mad at myself for not going more with my gut when they drafted this vapid clown.
I am intrigued by knowing, like, the next 10 games will tell us a lot. I'm fine with that. If they're not going to win the Super Bowl, you may as well figure out what you have with the quarterback. Because he's a quarterback on a rookie deal who you drafted. So that's fine.
So next year he can carry the clipboard.
Yeah.
For somebody.
Right. You can cut bait. You can bring someone else in. You can make it a true quarterback competition. Right? Like, you bring in Nick Foles and you make it an open competition, I expect Nick Foles to beat him for the job.
Yeah, I would too, even though we're not Nick Foles guys, either one of us. His postseason play has been terrific. But... he's just a guy on occasion. We saw him here last year in the playoffs. He was just a guy. Yeah, he threw the game-winning touchdown pass. But he's not special.
But there's a sense of urgency because the defense is.
But is it going to be what it is next year again? Whether or not what they were with Akeem Hicks, who's getting a lot of miles on that odometer, given that he comes back healthy next year. You're trading Danny Trevathan today for a first, a fifth-round pick. And I'm saying I don't disagree with you on that, but that's another guy who was an all-pro talent last year and one of their best players.
Well, but listen, it's obvious none of this is ideal, but I'm just trying to operate in like best case scenario. If you want to win a Super Bowl with Khalil Mack, right, you have to upgrade at quarterback as soon as possible.
Yes.
You can't wait for second round pick to develop behind Mitch Trubisky.
That's right.
So yeah, Nick Foles is not perfect. Alex Smith certainly would not be perfect. I don't think Alex Smith's ever going to play football again. But if he does, I can almost guarantee it will be in Chicago. Like Matt Nagy would love to have Alex Smith here. He would be able to operate this offense exactly how he wanted to. I don't know what the answer is, but my guess is that's what they're going to try to do. 10 games to figure out if Mitch has any ceiling left. If the answer is no, figure out a, you know, like a triage plan, like some sort of like, oh my God, in case of emergency, break glass, we have to get someone in immediately, instantly to try to salvage what's left of this defense.
I was thinking earlier this morning, and I couldn't come up with anything. Dave Wanstead might have some insight on this later in the week because he had shared duties when he was here regarding personnel decisions. I don't think there's ever been a front office in the NFL that was structured so one general manager focused on one side of the ball and somebody else underneath him, another personnel guy focused on the other side. Because it's clear Ryan Pace is good at picking defensive players. He's been good in the draft. He's been good with free agent signings. And he made it a great trade for the highest paid player in NFL history last year right before the season started when he got Khalil Mack. But offensively, he has made one bad decision after another. Mitch Trubisky, Cody Whitehair, and $55 million. The tight end, who I'm not even going to refer to by his name anymore because he doesn't deserve it to have it mentioned. He's made one bad move after another offensively, except for Allen Robinson, the only player they have.
And Tariq Cohen.
And Tariq Cohen, who his coach doesn't want having the ball. Unless they're throwing a little swing pass to him.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Hoops at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Illinois. Season tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale at NUSports.com. Something happened to me last night that's never happened in my radio career, and I want to play it for you. I think you'll enjoy it coming up.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
On the score.
Danny Parkins, stop smoking the weed and whining number one jersey up in the rafters, you dope.
We have a love-hate relationship with calls. We don't do it often. And then when we do it, we're like, oh, yeah.
We're reminded of why we don't do it often sometimes.
That makes sense.
Yeah, today's a good day for it, though. I can't yell for 4 hours. I'll lose my voice.
Yeah, it's not worth yelling about anyway. This segment brought to you by the Chicago Fire Soccer Club. The Chicago Fire are headed back to Soldier Field in 2020. Join the movement today by placing a $20 deposit applicable to any 2020 ticket package or single-game ticket, including the club's Soldier Field home opener versus Atlanta United. Visit chicago-fire.com to learn more. But Sunday nights on CBS Sports Radio, they like calls. Their hosts are mostly solo. They like to be the national network that takes calls. So they want you to take calls. And for the first 2 hours, now that football season's going on, a lot of the stations are airing, like the score is, the Westwood One coverage of Sunday Night Football. So there are not that many callers in the first 2 hours of the show. But once that postgame show ends, I'm on over 200 stations across the country, including on, you know, the huge stations in Philly, Boston, Chicago, all over the place. So it's super easy to get calls. And as soon as we cleared and we were on, I talked Bears because it was the thing that I felt the most passionately about, and I knew I was erring on the Score here in Chicago.
Let's talk Bears, okay?
Exactly. So we started.
Did you play that for the national audience?
I should.
Why are you saying that?
I should have. I don't have a tanny for the national show. I really could use one. The open that Tanny made me for the national show, it plays every hour. It's a good open, but it's just way too.
And every Sunday, I'm like, I gotta get you a couple more new things to pepper in there.
God, it would be really helpful because like it's a good piece of production, but God, it's driving me insane. But so I'm starting to take Bears callers, and you've been doing this a lot longer than I have, but I've been doing it long enough that if something happens to me in radio that's never happened to me before, it's noteworthy. Tell me if this has ever happened to you when you went to a caller. Jason in Chicago, you're on CBS Sports Radio and the radio.com app. Thanks for holding, man. What's up? Jason, are you snoring? Hey, put him back on. Jason, wake up. Jason, did the Bears put you to sleep? How do you think I handled that? Jason! Oh, he's still going. Oh my God, this is incredible. I forgot. My show put a man to sleep. All right, take him down. That is a first. That was incredible. At first, I wanted to say it was the Bears that put him to sleep, but frankly, he had already called in. So it was my show. Antonio, did you hang up on him, or is he still there?
He's gone.
Okay, he's gone. We hung up on him.
I thought Mike Francesa had exclusivity on falling asleep on the air.
I was so, like, shook and taken aback on whether or not I had bored this man to tears and to sleep. I thought he was going to die.
Where's his phone?
It didn't sound healthy.
I think he's playing with you.
You do?
Yeah, I don't think he's really snoring. I think that was his point, that the Bears have put him to sleep.
He's workshopping a bit.
Well, we know
Nagy.
How
to...
I mean,
I'll take the snore over Nagy.
he held 40 minutes to be asleep. So my show put a man to sleep. It was a first, man. I had never heard of it happening before. But yeah, Mike Francesa fell asleep during a Yankees report. And then he claims that he wasn't, and then he forgot that his show was on television. So, you know,
right. His head was hitting the microphone. He was conking the mic.
Let's see if Dom is asleep on the west side. Dom, you're on the Score.
Hey, guys. Outside of his play, the problem I have with Mitch, man, is he seems to, like, throw his receivers under the bus a little bit. You know, like, prime example for the Anthony Miller throw. He said he was supposed to be on the outside, but upon Miller's release, the ball was overthrown to his inside shoulder. Now, my thing is, if you're going to point out and nitpick, don't they have the right to nitpick and point out where the ball was inaccurate or the ball was off time or, you know, like, somebody needs to sit down and tell him he sucks. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you're pointing out other people's issues. And then just to finish, as far as going forward at the quarterback position, I just say, thank you. Free agency, low risk, high reward. Like, I know it's, you know, it's probably been kicked around. People think that, you know, just the suggestion of Kaepernick, not this year, but maybe see if he can still play. If he can still play, let him learn the playbook and maybe challenge it next year along with a draft pick or something. But, yeah, like Mitch, I don't know. He needs to get it together, though, guys. But, okay, I'll be quiet and listen now.
Thank you, Dom.
Thanks, Dom.
I share your feeling about Trubisky, and not just Mitch Trubisky, but also the head coach and the assistant coaches for wanting to point out all the things we don't know. Oh, you're not. I know it looks like he overthrew him, but actually Allen was in the wrong spot. This is a few weeks ago. Or Taylor Gabriel wasn't where he was supposed to be. Or Anthony Miller didn't run the right route. And we don't understand. And Nagy was talking today about how it's easy to see it on TV. Yeah, it is. Maybe, you know, it should be easy for you to see in the end zone look of the game tape, which is what they all watch. Some of those things should be easy for you to see. Box scores from around the league certainly are easy to see. And you look at other teams and the winning ones, and sometimes It's because of it they run the football. And I'm tired of all of it. I'm tired of all of the coddling of this quarterback who was told earlier in the season, don't talk anymore about last game. Because it was a Thursday. The season opens 4 days later. And then when he talks on Wednesday, almost a full week later, they didn't want him reliving any of that. So assistants tell him,
I was told not to talk about the last game. We're moving
on. Yeah, we're moving on. Stop protecting this kid. It's big boys' rules, man.
It's a built Ford tough Bears Monday. And to Dom's point about Kaepernick, I think the NFL has already decided that he's not employable.
Yeah, but he's been barred.
So I'll be floored if they go back on it. But if I'm Kaepernick's agent, Teddy Bridgewater is my exhibit A. It doesn't matter that he hasn't played in 3 years. Look at what Teddy Bridgewater is able to do. Teddy Bridgewater was out for
5-0, right?
Yeah, he's out for 3 seasons.
Yeah, he's 5-0.
With that injury, with between games that he played. And then he comes in and he's able to play at that level.
He looked composed yesterday, too.
Yeah, so if I'm trying to advocate on Kaepernick's behalf, that's a guy that I point to and say it's absolutely possible to take off that amount of time and still come back and be productive.
We got to get to Roquan Smith and what's eating him before we leave here at 6 o'clock tonight, too, because it's a lot of it's Mitch, a lot of it's Nagy. Yeah, most of it's on them. I'd say 90% on those two guys.
Yeah,
I'm not collectively. An idiot. Yeah, you are.
I don't think he's an idiot.
We'll find a way to spread some of the blame around. Roquan Smith hasn't looked himself for several weeks, has he?
The crack slippers of Bears blame. We'll do it on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.